Sound like a good song to me. Glad you're here tonight. How many of you have been here every night so far? Wow. That's a blessing. I hope you've been blessed by the Word of God and the preaching of God's Word. How are we doing back there? All right. I thank God that you're here. I thank God that you came back and you thought it was worthwhile to come back and hear the Word of God again.
Amen.
I thank God that my brother-in-law and sister-in-law are here, Bill and Linda Sprague. I thank God for some of the visitors come out and hear the Word of God. My special request again, do you have your Bibles? Can I see them? Oh, what a book. You know who authored that book? God Almighty. He had a message for you and I. And we've taken time out of our busy schedules to open up that book to find out what God had to say. That's a blessing. I don't know if you've noticed, but the announcements are almost a sermon. Some of these... Well, Brother Eddie, good to see you. Some of these preachers around here chomping at the bit. I still got a few days left. You keep on praying that God will bless, and we're going to pray that God will hear our prayers and bless us and give us real revival. How many of your husbands here tonight? I need you to stand up. Look at all these husbands. I got a message for you tonight. Just for you. You may be seated. How many of you aren't quite husbands yet? I need you to stand up. Are you single? Look around you, young ladies. Thank you. The rest of you get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. And let's all stand and pray. God in heaven, we are so thankful that we have your book. We can open it and hear your words speaking to our hearts. And Lord, you've heard our prayers this week. And Lord, we desire revival and we desire to love you with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. And God, we know that that's going to take some faith. And we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And Lord, you commanded that your Word be preached, and that's what we're trying to do. And God, I pray that you bless us this night. I pray that there be a lost soul here tonight that's seeking you and looking for peace and true love and true salvation that's found in Jesus Christ, that they might find it tonight in Him. And God, I pray for every believer, every Christian, every born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be comforted and exhorted and edified and built up, that they might serve you with all their heart and mind and soul. God, bind the devil, let him not steal the Word of God out of hearts. May your will be done this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, you husbands, so love his wife even as himself. I think one of the problems in our generation, definitely in America, is that somehow we've lost the idea of what God expects of a man. And one of the things that God expects of a man is a man loves his wife. This is not a suggestion by God. This is not something that we can choose. This is a command to husbands by an almighty God. And he says, husbands, love your wives. Now, there are some speculations of why God would have to command a man to love his wife. I mean, doesn't it just seem natural that a man would love his wife? That's what we'd expect. I mean, that's why people get married. They get married out of love. And yet, in many cultures, that's not the case. There are cultures existing in our generation, even today, where there are arranged marriages. And this man, this young man that never met this young lady, are suddenly find themselves married. And God gives a command to them, husbands, love your wives. Now that tells me something. That love is not this oochie-goochie feeling that you might get. Now you might love somebody and that oochie-goochie, whatever you, I don't know how you describe that feeling. I don't know what the words are for that feeling. Whatever words you have might come along with love, and that might be a great experience for you, not happy for you. But let me tell you something. If you're trying to base this command of God on this oochie-goochie feeling, you're going to have some problems down the line. Because you're going to wake up one day and them oochie-goochie feelings have fled. And then you're staring in the face of reality. And then what are you going to do? God has given a command that we're to love. We're to love the God with all our mind and all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. And we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if there's ever a place in our society where we can find if somebody's going to love their neighbor as themselves, surely in marriage there's a good place to start practicing that. And if you find it hard to love your wife as yourself, how are you going to fulfill the great commandment? The Apostle John told us a long time ago, if you don't love your neighbor, how can you say you love God? And if you don't love your wife, how are you going to convince anybody that you love your neighbor? And there's the command. We have young preachers all the time, married young preachers. What's the will of God for my life? Well, here's one. I mean, why make the Bible complicated? It's pretty straightforward. Why worry about all them feathers on the cherubim when you can find out what God's already said? Husbands, love your wives. Somebody says, yeah, but how do I do that? Add yourself. Well, there you go. The Bible's not all that complicated. Husbands, every one of you in particular, so love his wife as himself. Now let me ask you, do you mock yourself? Do you badmouth yourself? Do you kick yourself? Do you put yourself down? Or do you tolerate yourself? Are you very forgiving of yourself? Do you justify yourself? What is it that you do for self? Do you walk around saying, oh, what an idiot? I am. Do you scream at yourself? Do you hit yourself? You know, we live in a society where men would hit a woman. Not just any woman, their wives. We weren't in Poland but a month. We still had our suitcases for the table and these trunks, these blue trunks you can get at Target for our seats. And little Cassidy, I say little, she was little then, she comes in and she says, Daddy, that man is beating the woman. And I thought, what in the world are you talking about? We didn't have a TV. So I know she, and we're way up on the fifth floor of an apartment building. I know she wasn't watching TV. We didn't have a radio. I said, what are you talking about? Daddy, that man is beating the woman. Cassidy, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, Daddy, the man is beating the woman. Cassidy, I don't understand you. I'm speaking English, Daddy. Well, yes, I understand your vocabulary, but what are you talking about? Down there! And then we looked out the window, and there was a man beating a woman. And I'm watching people walk by. This bus stop, it was at a bus stop. And I'm amazed, what in the world is going on? Why don't them people, I didn't speak Polish. I'd only had, 1 month of Polish training.
I just had a few words of vocabulary. I'm thinking, you know, what am I going to do? And then I saw that man knock the woman down. And then once she was down, he kicked her right in the face, and I saw her teeth come out. I said, that's it. And I said, Kathleen, go to our neighbor spoke English. I said, go to the neighbor, tell him to call the police. And I'm running down the stairs, 5 flights of stairs, out the back door. I don't know what I'm going to do, but just energy is running through me. I don't know if it's the spirit of Jehu or the spirit of Yahoo. I don't know what was going on, but I was going. And I'm running around there, and I've still got a lot of energy in me. And I'm running, and I'm not even thinking about what I'm going to do. And that guy's still on top of her, and I just ran and ran and wham! And he was down. He wasn't out yet. And then all that energy just went, whoosh. And I thought, uh-oh. Now what? I said, I better get on top of him before he gets up. So I got on top of him. And I put my knee right on his shoulder. He's trying to get up, and I grabbed it. Thank God he had a tie. I grabbed him right by the tie. Now I'm thinking. What's them Polish words? I remember now. Kobiet. That's a woman. Kobiet. Woman. You can say that. Kobiet. Kobiet. Nie. What's that other word? Bitch. No, beach. Oh, I got to be careful because bitch in Polish is to be. But beach in Polish is to beat. So I didn't mean bitch. I meant beach. I said woman in Polish. How many were here last night? Love thinketh no evil. Did you remember that? Love thinketh no evil. Anyway, so I got him down. Back to the story. I got him down. And I'm telling him in my broken Polish, no hit woman, no hit woman. And he says in perfect English from England, sir, if you get off of me, I will never hit the woman again the rest of my life. And you're going to hit your wife? You're going to hit your wife? You're going to smack your wife around? If I find out about it, I'd come smack you around. Amen. Now, I know that I'm not that strong, but I'll bring an equalizer. You understand? Amen. And if I can't do it, then I'm going to pray God Almighty will do it. You got no right beating your wife. That's right. And that's a shame you got to say something like that in a church. To Christians. Husbands, love your wives. How are we to love our wives? As ourselves. Look up in just a few verses in 28. He says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You don't hate yourself. You don't despise yourself. Then why do you do that to your wife? Now, I quoted this from Brother Spurgeon last night, but I've changed it a little bit. Self, love thy wife, for then thy life will love thee. Self, help thy wife, for then thy wife will help thee. Self, thou wantest ease, make thyself easy by treating thy wife well. Self, thou wantest pleasure, thou canst get no pleasure if thy wife hate thee. And there's a lot of truth in that, brother. You want me to run that one again? I mean, we should back that one up. And self, thou canst get no pleasure if thy wife hate thee. Make thy wife love thee, dear self, and so shall thou bless thyself. A lot of truth in that. You know, a woman naturally wants to please her man. And she'll do almost anything to please her man. That's what the Bible says. Gives quite a few examples. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Women are strange creatures that God created. And it's amazing their capacity to love and their willingness to please their men. In the Old Testament, there was a young lady by the name of Leah. She had a husband named Jacob. And this is what the Bible says about her. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord had looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. I mean, a woman's willing to get pregnant if her man will love her. Did I read that right? That same Leah, so desirous of the love of her husband, said, God has given me my hire because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. Now that's really strange. And I don't want to go into that. But I do want to point out the extremes that a woman will go to in order that she might find love in her husband. A woman naturally wants to please her husband. And so, my dear Christian brother, it behooves you and I to love our wives even as ourselves. Amen. And our lives will be so much better, so much enriched when we learn this thing from God to love our wives even as ourselves. Women respond to love. Verse 25 of the same chapter. We're going backwards. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, this is one step up from loving yourself, because now it says love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. My friend, you know what Jesus Christ did? He left the glories of heaven for you. And who are you? Nobody. You're a zero. You're a less than zero. You were down there buried in the miry clay. You rebelled against God. You hated God. You despised God. You mocked His name. You ignored God. There was no reason in the world that God should love you. And yet, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave His Son out of love for you. Now, I can't explain that, because sometimes I find it very difficult to love you. And sometimes you make it very hard, and I have to have a lot of faith, and I have to do a lot of self-crucifying so that I might love you. And I'm worthy of your abuse, and I'm worthy of your mocking, and I'm worthy of all the things that you do to me. But God never offended you. He never did you wrong, not once. He's always did right to you. And with loving kindness, He drew you to Himself. And He says to you, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, my friend. Religion won't do that. You don't need religion. I don't care what religion. You don't need it. You need Christ. Religion crucified our Savior. Religion had Him hung on a cross. Religion spit on Him. Religion despised Him. They hated Him. But sinners. They ask me all the time, what are you doing in Poland? I said, I'm looking for sinners. What? Yeah, because I've got good news for sinners. Amen. I know a great physician that can heal the sick. And sin is a great sickness. My friend, if you're not saved and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you have any doubts about what I just said, and you're not sure how to get to heaven, and you're not quite sure what the Bible says about born again, there's a lot of terms in the Bible. Sometimes we just don't understand. If you have any doubts, don't let this night pass you before you find out. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That whosoever includes you. And some 33 years ago, I took God at His word and I called out to Him. I said, God, save me. And He did. Thank God. Husbands. Husbands. Are you listening? Husbands. Love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. How much did He give? Everything. Thank you. There it is. He gave it all. Now, we've already talked about this during the week. I know there's a tendency within us that when it comes to dishing out love, we want to give it out in portions. And yet there's one thing that seems like it's a theme that runs through the Scripture, that God wants it all. He doesn't want your love just on Sundays. And we have no right to say, God, you know, I've got an appointment with you at 10 o'clock. I'll pour out my love to you then. From 10 o'clock on Sunday morning till 12 o'clock, you get all my love. But then the rest of the week, no, no. No, I think He wants our love all of Sunday. All of Monday. All of Tuesday. All of Wednesday. All of Thursday. All of Friday. All of Saturday. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Then if we're to love our wives, even as Christ loved us, are we not to love our wives? Not just once a week. Not just at a given moment. But all the time. And I think we make some sort of vow in our churches. We vow till death do us part. I know what some of you are thinking. Because I had the same thought. You see, we're all made out of the same clay. You want me to back up and talk about wives submitting themselves to their husbands. Yeah? I know. But did you notice something? That men are experts on the duties of their wives. They know everything that the woman's supposed to do. They got all the verses memorized. Wives, listen to me. Here's what God says to you. But then they somehow forget what God said to them. Didn't Jesus say something about getting that thing out of your eyeball so you can see better? Didn't He say that? Now, that command about husbands are the head of the wives was not given to men. In fact, I don't even think it was a command. It was an argument on why a woman should submit to her husband, because the man is the head. It's amazing how many Christian men can quote that verse. But somehow they forget this verse. Would you agree that Christ is head of the church? How many agree to that? I think that's everybody. Everybody agrees that Christ is the head of the church? I got a challenge for you. Find out how many times Christ in all of His messages in the gospel said, I'm the head of the church. You better submit to me. I'm the head of the church. I'm telling you, I'm the head of the church. You better submit to me. How many times did Christ do that? Now, everybody knows here that Christ is head of the church. How did you know that? How did you know that? Do you think Peter knew it? How many think Peter knew it? How many think Matthew knew it? John? Thomas? You know, maybe he was a doubter. Maybe he doubted a little bit. I don't know. Do you think the apostles knew that Christ was head of the church? Do you think he knew when he got down and began to wash the disciples' feet? You don't mind this, right? I'm using brown on your black, but that's all right. Do you think they knew? But that's our problem, isn't it, men? We think that we got to remind our wives of some command we think that exists in the Bible that they've got to submit. And we think that we got to take a hammer and beat them over the head and say, you've got to submit because the Bible says.
But that's not Christ's example. That wasn't Christ's example. He didn't go around and say, you've got to submit because I'm the head.
He gave us an example. Is he not our example? And of all the religions in the world that call themselves Christians, do they not all say that we ought to follow Christ?
That was a question.
You think so? Yeah, they all do that. All the ones that are called Christians. We ought to take up our cross and follow Christ. We ought to follow His example. And good leaders do not have to harangue their employees. I'm the boss. I'm the boss. They all know you're the boss. Hallelujah! Woo-hoo! Oh, man! Woo! $3,000 over a pizza, man! Woo-hoo! Here we go.
Unless that's for me, and then I'm in trouble.
Do you understand the example of Christ? He was the head. He is the head. He always will be the head.
And he had no fear of losing his authority in service. But that's what you and I fear. We somehow got in the back of our minds, if I give in, my wife is not going to respect me. If I give an inch, she's going to take a foot. Now, I think that's a lie of the flesh and a lie of the devil. Because I've seen that by loving my wife, even as myself, and loving my wife as Christ loved the church, I found out that she wants to give so much more. And so much more honor and so much more respect. Now, sadly, that took about 30 years to figure that out. And a lot of God working on me. And a lot of iron sharpening iron and a lot of experience. A lot of young people can't grasp this, and they somehow got to go through it. Now, I wish you could just take advice from the Scriptures. And they take a little advice from somebody that has already experienced it. 30 years of experience. How much experience do you have? And listen to me, young man, young husband. You don't have to drill it into your wife's head that she has to submit. If you will do what God told you to do, it's a good possibility that she's going to do what you want her to do.
Can a pastor serve a congregation and still be a pastor?
I think so.
Can Christ serve the disciples and still be the Lord? Do you remember what we talked about the other night, being the greatest? There were a couple of disciples come along and they wanted to be great. And Jesus gave an example, didn't He? You want to be first? You want to be great in God's eyes? Not in man's eyes. Not in the flesh's eyes. Not in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes. And isn't that what we're looking for? When we talk about revival, we're looking for what God wants. We've got trying to get ourselves in a place what God is happy with. Not what the world is happy with. And not even what we're happy with. And we're willing to bear our cross. And we're willing to deny ourselves that God might be pleased in all things. So you want to be first? Become last. You want to be first? Become a servant. Did I miss that? Did I understand what Christ gave in examples? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. May I say that love is spelled L-O-V-E? Is that correct? Not L-U-S-T.
tea. Can we go by that one again? Love is L-O-V-E, not L-U-S-T. And there's a big problem there. Pornography is rampant. I caught you with guile the other night. Somebody said, yes, we have internet. And somebody even volunteered, we have TV too. Great dangers lurk there.
That's right. Amen.
Great dangers.
Amen.
In the old days, you had to go down to the dirty bookstore to find it. Now it's right there in your home. And I don't know how it is in America, because I haven't really lived in America for a long time. But in Poland, it's very dangerous to flick channels after 10 o'clock at night, because you're going to see something you don't want to see. Now, there's two options. You can kick out the TV, and that wouldn't be a bad option.
Amen.
But there's another option. You can block all those channels. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to live by the Internet. In a sense, I have a lot of work that's done through the Internet. And there's some things that come in my mailbox that I don't want to see. And yet they got there, and I have no idea how they got there. And they send me an advertisement for, you know, a brand new Dell computer for, you know, $250, and I'm interested. And when I click on that thing, well, that ain't no Dell computer. Well, there's some programs you can get that will block those types of things. You see, if you got problems with alcohol, you don't put alcohol in your refrigerator. And if you got problems with L-U-S-T, lust, covetousness, then you do things to avoid it.
Amen.
Look at Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 4. I'm not going to belabor this point, but I'm trying to help you.
Amen.
Because you are to love your wife. Hebrews 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, that's God's way of saying sex is okay in marriage.
Amen.
Between a husband and a wife. Singular husband, singular wife. Sex anywhere else is not okay. Not in your mind. Not in your heart. That's what Jesus said. If you look on a woman and lust after her in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. Sex is a creation of God and is a wonderful thing in the place that God designed it to be. And that's the marriage bed. Solomon said in the Song of Solomon, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Now, men, women have desires too. And if I read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that's your homework, you ought to read that chapter. You have a responsibility to please your wife. And your wife should not wonder, where are you?
Amen.
Where are you? I need you. Where are you? Did you hear me? Your wife ought to be able to safely trust in you.
Amen.
Don't give her any reason to doubt. You don't like it when you don't know where she's at. I mean, if the tables are turned, you wouldn't like it. Didn't we talk about the other day, didn't the Scriptures tell us whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do even so to them? This is the law and the prophets. Did you grasp that the other night? Try processing that with your wife. I think if we would do that, if we would apply the scriptural principles and take the commands of Jesus Christ seriously, then our society would not be in such a decay as it is. Divorces are on the rampage. Marriage has fallen to disrepute. People don't even bother getting married anymore. We want revival. We want unbelievers to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've got to do something about our marriages. If we're going to be a light in the world and a Christ, if we do not allow Christ to change our marriages so that we might have a testimony in the world, that we might raise our children up in holiness and righteousness, so they might have an example for the next generation, then where are we headed? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Look in 1 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 7. I want you to physically turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. How many of you have prayed for revival? Yeah? Been praying for revival. Listen to what this says. Likewise, ye husbands, that's all you men that stood up. You remember? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with him according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Is it possible, brothers and sisters, that we're praying to God and God's not listening precisely because you are not loving your wife? Or did I misinterpret that verse? Is it possible that revival will not come to 602 Oak Knoll because there's too many men in the congregation that are not loving their wives as Christ loved the church? That are not treating their wives with honor as unto the weaker vessel? Are you getting the drift? Am I hitting the heart? That your prayers be not hindered. Men, you and I, as husbands, were to be an example to our wives. Is Christ not an example unto the church? Then we're to be an example unto our wives. Look over in Acts in chapter 5. You can read the story when you get. I'm going to read down at verse 10. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? Ananias was the husband. Sapphira was the wife. And the wife was following her man. But look where her man led her. And Peter says to her, Sapphira, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Could it be possible that we're not having revival because the husbands are not giving their all?
Amen.
They're feigning their spirituality before the brothers in the church. And now they got their wife involved in it. And where does that lead? It leads right to the door of death. You see, we're never going to fool God. They might have thought that they were going to fool Peter, pull the wool over Peter's eyes and the congregation's eyes, but God exposed them. In a church that is seeking revival, in a church that's praying, you better watch out.
Amen.
You better watch out because God is going to pull the rug out from underneath you. I do not say these words to condemn anybody. Do you understand that? It's not my intent to condemn. It's my intent to show that if we really want revival, then we're going to have to hearken unto the words of God. Do we really want revival? All right, let's start there. Let's start with loving God. Let's start with loving our neighbor. Let's continue on the road with loving our wives, even as ourselves. Let's start with the husbands rising up and being examples unto their wives. Let's do those things and see how far we are off from a revival. Let's get a hold of those precepts and live them with all our might and be fervent in charity and see what happens then. See what God can do with a church that is permeated with love. Amen. The weaker vessel. Giving honor unto the wife. Do you honor your wife? How do you talk about her? How do you talk to her? God's Word is speaking to me just as clear as it's speaking to you. He says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, He says, "Now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of thy mouth." Now doesn't that apply to the marriage? He says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." What if you and I as husbands would work on getting these things out of our houses? Amen. Let's get rid of anger. Let's get rid of wrath. Let's get rid of bitterness. Let's clean it out. Get the vacuum cleaner and clean it out. Let's take the blood of Christ and do some cleansing in our homes. Amen. And see what God Almighty will do. Look at Galatians in chapter 5. In verse 15. We read this the other night. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Now, I think that one another includes the wives. If ye be bout and devour your wife, take heed that ye be not consumed. Would that be a good interpretation? Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Bitterness will destroy a marriage. Unforgiveness will destroy a marriage. And what is it really that you're bitter over? What is it that really got you angry? Why is wrath taking a hold of you in such a way that you're ready to throw your marriage out the door? What is it? I've been preaching the gospel for almost 33 years. I've talked to a lot of people about their marriages. I've heard all sorts of things. You would not believe. You would not believe. What was he angry over?
Well, you don't understand, preacher. Pastor. Brother Hermano Miguel. Brother Mihaly. Brother Brent. You just don't understand. I came home and my wife bought a $19.99 plant.
Yeah?
Well, you don't understand. She bought this plant. I told her not to buy the plant and she bought it. Does she think money grows on trees?
Well, maybe that one. I don't know. That's his side.
Her side now. Well, he bought a $199.99 fishing pole.
Well, what's wrong with that? A man's got a fish, doesn't he?
And they're going to war over a $19.99 plant. He's not even in the house 8 hours out of the day, 12 hours a day. He's not even there. And he's sleeping the other 8 hours. So what difference does it make if she's got a plant in her house? I'm speaking from experience. What's the problem? Our marriage is coming to an end. What happened? Is he beating you? No. Is she scratching your eyeballs out? No. What is it that she did? Preacher, pastor, hermano Miguel, bracha de jale, you just don't understand. She squeezes the toothpaste right in the middle.
Right in the middle, really?
Where do you squeeze it?
No, I squeeze it like they tell you on TV. You know, I roll.
You're going to throw your marriage out the window for a tube of toothpaste? For a tube of toothpaste?
Yes, but you don't understand. I told her that she ought to roll it up.
Well, maybe she likes to squeeze it in the middle. What's the problem?
Don't tell me you squeeze it too in the middle. I'm leaving the church.
I can only imagine what divorce court looks like. Judge sitting up there and the juror, well, I don't know if the jurors are sitting there on a divorce court or not, sitting there, what's the problem? Toothpaste squeezer over here on the right, toothpaste roller up here on the left. You're going to divide the family and the kids over something like that? How does bitterness get in and to allow a little thing like that to destroy a marriage? And why are you worried about a $19 plant when you're buying a $190 fishing pole? Automobiles. The devil must have invented the automobile. It's got to be the leading cause of divorce.
Don't turn there, honey. No, honey. Look out. Stop. No, no.
What's the problem?
She's always telling me how to drive.
Really?
Yeah, she's the woman.
Well, yeah, that's true. She is the woman.
Don't you understand? She's telling me how to drive.
Yeah, I saw all those signs out there. You think women put up all them signs? Stop. Yield. Slow. Turn right, turn left. Honey, you're going the wrong way.
I am not going the wrong way. I know where I'm going. Bam!
What did the police report say? Going down the wrong way on a one-way avenue. You know, sometimes the wife has some good advice. Now, if she starts cooking apples, you ought to be careful. Or fruit, or whatever that was back then. The fruit of the tree of good and knowledge of good and evil. Now, you ought to be careful on that kind of advice. But you're going to destroy a marriage, and you're going to let bitterness and wrath and anger and malice build up in you because she wanted to give you directions? How many times was she right? Be honest, you're in the house of God. How many times was she right? I know she's not right every time. I know that. But how many times was she right? How many times did she scream, "Look out!" And you're thankful she said, "Look out," because you hit the brakes and boy, how many times that happened? Now, sometimes she's a little off. God have mercy on me. I said sometimes. You can avoid a lot of problems in your marriage if you just communicate.
if you just communicate. Now, I'm not trying to embarrass Janice. And I'm surely not trying to embarrass myself, but I'm going to use an example. I do a lot of work on the computer. We're working on a Bible project, and so I do a lot of work on the computer. And Janice will stand up and testify if I don't get it right. If I miss out any on any parts, she'll let you know. When I'm on the computer, I don't hear. Brent, will you take out the trash? Yeah. Brent, will you take out the trash? Yeah. Brent, would you take out the trash? Yes, I'm going to take out. What did you say? And we had a lot of problems because we weren't communicating. And so we have a rule. She doesn't ask me anything to do when I'm in front of the computer. If she can get my attention and allowing the appropriate amount of fade time, and then when I'm looking at her in the eye, and then she waits a minute, and then she asks me, "Are you ready?" And I respond, "Yes, I'm ready, dear." Well, I don't always say the dear. Then she can ask. Because when she asked me to take out the trash or what go buy the bread or whatever it was, I did not hear you, and there was a communication problem. And so what was just a very minor thing, take out the trash, please, turns into a big thing because now she said it twice, now she said it three times, now she says it four times, and now we get an argument. She says, "I told you four times." I never heard that. When did you tell me that? And boy, we're going at it. All right. Are you ready? You got your Bibles ready? You're in Galatians chapter 5 and 5 now, and look down at verse 26. "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking your wives, envying your wives." Don't do that. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love for your wife. See that you love your wife with a pure heart fervently." 1 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 8, "Finally, be ye of one mind with your wife, having compassion on your wife, love your wife, be pitiful, be courteous." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, "Wherefore comfort your wife and edify your wife." Are you getting the picture? You think that God is silent on how you're supposed to love your wife? You're trying to find the will of God for your life and you're looking for revival? God has given us some great counsel here, man. He's told us how we can love our wives. You say, "Yeah, but it's hard." Then be a soldier. Isn't that what it says? We're to be soldiers. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. "Exhort your wife daily while it is called today." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. "Consider your wife. Provoke her unto love and to good works." Don't provoke her to anger. You jabber and jabber and jabber, and then she gets mad and you say, "What are you mad for?" You put her down, you put her down, you put her down. You say, "What are you doing down there?" Men don't nag, they crag. And some of them quote Scripture doing it. Ephesians chapter 4. "With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing your wife in love." Look down at verse 32. "Be kind to your wife, tender-hearted." I'm a man. Christ was a man. That's what the Bible says. Peter was a man. Paul was a man. Did you hear what they said? Be kind one to another. Kindness goes a long way. Kindness does not have to stop at the marriage altar. It can continue on. It got you there, didn't it? Kindness got you there. Why can't it continue? Tenderhearted. Forgiving your wife. Okay, she bought a $19.99 plant. Forgive her. How? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Try applying that in your marriage. I'm not interested in goo-goo marriages. I'm not interested in pretentious marriages. God's not interested in a fake marriage. Don't fake it. Don't feign it. If you read the Scriptures and you find out what God wants you to do and you're not doing it, then call out to God and ask Him to help you overcome. Amen. Take that old cross and crucify yourself. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? So that we can get back doing what God has told us to do. And He said, husbands, husbands, do you hear me? Husbands, love your wives. Yeah, but I just don't feel it. He never said, husband, feel it. And boy, that will get you in trouble if you preach that too much. I speak from experience. He said, love your wives. Be kind. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Are you looking? Forbearing one another. Forbearing your wife. Enduring. Forgiving your wife. If any man have a quarrel against his wife, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Is there something wrong with you suffering wrong? Did you hear what I said? Is there something wrong with you suffering wrongly? Didn't Christ suffer wrongly? Yeah, but you don't understand. She's supposed to be in submission. Aren't you supposed to be in submission? Aren't you supposed to submit to God Almighty? Let me ask you, do you submit to Him all the time? What if God began to treat you when you're in rebellion, when you're back-talking God? I know you never do it verbally, but in your mind, in your heart, in your actions. When you're resisting the will of God, and God is trying in all His love and all His kindness and all His mercy and all His grace persuade you to do the right thing for you. And yet you resist. How does God treat you then? Then what in the world are we doing treating our wives so terribly when they resist us? Or they didn't do what we expected? Oh, we came home and, you know, the potatoes weren't on the table. Did you ever think that she might have had a hard day? You never had a hard day? Maybe she had a hard day. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23, let no man seek his own, but every man his wife's wealth, another man's wealth. His wife's wealth. What if that became priority? Brothers and sisters, we're looking for revival, and I'm convinced that there's not going to be revival as long as our marriages are in disarray.
That's right. Amen.
Or that if we're truly seeking revival, then we're going to do something about making sure our marriages work. God might bless that. First Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love for your wife and toward all men, even as we do toward you.
You see, all the things that we've talked about up to this point in these meetings, about love and charity to our fellow man and love and charity to God, surely can be applied to our wives. How are you measuring up by God's standard?
Well, let me ask you another question. How are you measuring up by your own measurement in the way that you measure your wife? I mean, you expect your wife to obey all the commands that says, wives, do this, wives, do this. You expect them to be obedient. How are you doing on obeying? Be careful how you judge. Because if we judge without mercy, then God's going to judge us without mercy. Be careful how you judge. Make sure you get that big old mote out of your own eye. And don't be straining at gnats while you're swallowing camels. Janice and I are going to be married for 30 years. October 14th. 30 years. Now, if you think there's never been a quarrel, or there's never been an argument, then you don't really understand where I got all my examples. Yeah, you can't believe it, that we would actually quarrel. That I could possibly find some fault in that woman. I mean, how could it be? I just don't understand. I mean, surely you don't understand. How could it be? You had to been there. Marriage is an effort.
Amen.
We labor in love.
Amen.
I know we want everything, you know, on a silver platter, but it doesn't come on a silver platter. We labor in love. Sometimes it's very hard to love. And sometimes you really want to hold on to bitterness. And sometimes you really want to hold on to anger. And that's why we're pulling the sheets. That's why she can't find me, because I'm out there in the doghouse. Or on the couch. Or on the floor. You see, all these things in the New Testament tell us how to live as men can be applied to our marriages. And we can talk about marriages falling apart around us in the world. And yet the world has crept into the church.
Amen.
I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. It is not my intention to condemn. I did not come here to condemn anybody. And I understand that there's divorce, even right here. And if you're divorced, I sympathize with you. But I think that all of you that have been divorced can stand up here and be a witness and a testimony. That's a rough road to go down. And it would have been better somehow to work it out and to go God's way.
Amen.
Would you not agree?
Yes.
I know there are some exceptions. But in our day and age, divorce has become too easy. Too easy. I say unto you, as Christ said unto you, husbands, husbands, love your wives. If you find it difficult, then take it as your cross. And work on it. And deny yourself. And seek not your own. And follow Christ's example. Love your wives. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I think God can do something with us if we submit to Him. We want our wives to submit to us. Men, I'm talking to you. Let's submit to God. I'm going to give this service over to Brother Kincaid. And whatever the Spirit of God leads you to do, I encourage you to do it. And God bless you.